We shall now turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we shall consider this morning verses 30 to 35. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, at verse 30. We could read from verse 28. Then said they, the multitude, unto him, Jesus, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now last Sunday morning we looked at that very important question in verse 28. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What could be more important than that? How can we do God's work? How can we please God? How can we be saved? And then we notice that Jesus gives a very clear answer in response. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus says, works? It's not a matter of works. You think that you can do works and that by these works you will please God and earn salvation. But it's not of works. You think if only I do enough good works, then I'll be right with God. But no, because we cannot do good works. Because even our best works are spoiled by sin, sinful motives, sinful attitudes. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of doing. It's a matter of believing. Believing not in your own works, but believing in the works of Jesus. I do the works. I came from heaven. I lived an obedient life. I kept all the commandments. I died on the cross to earn salvation for you. Don't look to yourselves. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Look to me and trust in me and in my works. And then you'll be saved. And that's the work of God. And that's the commandment of God. Believe. God commands every one of you to believe. And God commands everyone in Glasgow, Scotland, in the world, believe. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And God commands you to believe. And God commands you to do His work. And what is His work? The work He requires. It's simply faith. Believe in Jesus. Notice, it doesn't say believe in Jesus. It says believe on him whom he has sent. Not in. You can believe in somebody. You can believe that they're a good person, a good teacher. You can believe that what they say is true. You can even believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But something more is required. Believe on. Trust. Depend. Rely. Rest. Build on. Commit yourself to. And so we notice in the passage before us that Jesus today sets himself before our eyes as the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You've got to eat him. That's salvation. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Feed on Christ, and you'll live forever. Well, first of all, this morning, notice that the people are looking for signs. Verses 30 to 31. Then said they therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see thee and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. The people are asking for signs. What sign showest thou then? It reminds us of what Paul said. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who believe, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the wisdom of God. And the power of God. The Jews are looking for a sign. But surely they've had plenty of signs. Is it not so clear that Jesus is the Messiah? Have they not been fed, 5,000 of them, with 5 little loaves and 2 small fish? What's that but a sign? And they're still saying, what sign showest thou then? We want more, more signs, more signs, more signs. And will they ever get enough signs? No. Because signs in and of itself will never save anyone. People can come looking for signs and miracles, and you could perform all the miracles you like, and though one rise from the dead and come and tell them, yet they will not believe. The Greeks seek after wisdom. They want logical argument. They want scientific proof. They want it to be demonstrated by reason that God is and that Jesus is the Christ and that this is the way of salvation and that the Bible is the truth. But that's not God's way. And it can't be done. You can't argue a person into salvation because faith is a gift of God. And man, by his reason, always stumbles over the truth. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the wisdom of men is foolishness to God. So there are still today so many, and they're wanting proof, scientific proof, logical proof. They're wanting clever words, and they're wanting lots of intellectual arguments. But friends, that will never save. Others are looking for signs and wonders, and charismatic churches are packed with people coming to see people being healed and people speaking in tongues and people prophesying and people claiming to do all sorts of things. But will that save? No. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. And here we have them, the Jews coming to Jesus and saying, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? But wait a minute. I've just fed 5,000 of you. Is that not a sign? I've changed water into wine. Is that not a sign? I've healed a lame man by the pool of Bethesda. Is that not a sign? What dost thou work? Well, it seems that the Jews had a tradition. And in that tradition, it was said that when the Messiah came, he would bring the manna. And the manna would start falling from heaven again. And just as the Israelites were fed 40 years in the wilderness with the manna, so the Jews would once again be fed with manna from heaven by the Messiah. The Jews are looking for the manna. They're looking for the sign from heaven. They're wanting Jesus to feed them in this way. The Messiah is supposed to be greater than Moses. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, like unto me. Him shall you hear, and whatsoever he shall say unto you. One greater than Moses, one greater than Aaron, one greater than King David. And if he's greater than Moses, where's the manna? We want miracles. People want to see before they will believe. But faith comes before seeing. And it's as you believe that you see. For faith is the eye that sees God. Are you looking for a sign? Maybe you've been coming to church for years. And maybe you've been listening to preaching for years. And you know you need to become a Christian. But you're waiting. What are you waiting for? A sign? A light? Something powerful to happen? Some voice from heaven to speak? Some vision? Waiting for a sign, is it? Is that what is keeping you back? Waiting for something to happen. Something dramatic. And then you believe. Well, if you're waiting for a sign, you will wait till your dying day. That's not God's way. And he's not promising you signs. You already have the sign. Jesus came into this world and died on the cross. And on the third day he rose again. When the Jews asked for a sign, Jesus said, I will give you no sign but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. And then rise again. And Jesus rose on the third day. And the tomb is empty. That's the sign. And the only sign you're going to get. So there's no point in waiting for signs. Waiting for something to happen. What is God saying to you today? He's saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe not tomorrow or a year from now or 10 years from now. But today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time to believe. Seek and you will find. Believe and you will be saved. People look for signs. Don't be like the Jews who perished in their sins. Believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Cast yourself upon him for salvation. Then secondly, Jesus says here that God gives bread from heaven, verses 32 and 33. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Notice the words, verily, verily. Whenever you see these words, they're saying something very important. Everything Jesus says is important. But when there's a verily, verily, it's doubly important. Verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Who gave you the bread from heaven? It wasn't Moses. It was God. But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Your fathers, they ate manna in the desert. And they died. And their corpses were strewed in the wilderness. The whole multitude of men that came out of Egypt perished in the wilderness, apart from Caleb and Joshua, despite eating manna. Manna was brilliant food. God had designed it. It had just the right amount of protein in it, just the right amount of fat, just the right amount of sugar, of carbohydrate, of vitamins and minerals. It was ideal. Moses, after 40 years eating manna at the age of 120, his eye was as good as ever. His step was as strong as ever. His strength was not in any way diminished. It was amazing food. But everyone who ate the manna died. It was bread that came from the sky. But I'm the bread that comes from heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the desert. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. But I am the true bread, for the bread of God. Jesus said unto them, My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Manna, it was a type of Christ, a symbol of Christ. The true bread is Christ. The manna pictured it, but Christ is the true bread. The bread that came from God and that alone can fit you for heaven. Came from heaven and it makes you ready for heaven. And those that eat this bread will live forever. They won't die like the Israelites died in the wilderness. They'll live forever. The bread that I give is far superior to the manna. The bread that I give is the one who came down from heaven in order to save men and women. And I give life unto the world. Perishing sinners, they have life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I give life. Our fathers, they died, but I give life. The manna fed their bodies. The bread that I give will feed the soul. The bread that came from heaven is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be the bread from heaven, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have here a vital truth. They were looking for a sign. Jesus wasn't prepared to give them a sign. Signs will never save. They had had many signs. And earlier in this chapter, Jesus says, You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves. You seek me for the loaves. For earthly loaves and worldly bread. You don't see behind the miracle that I performed, that I am the Messiah, the one sent from heaven to be the Savior of the world. So there's a vital truth here. People need Christ. The manna was a type of Christ. He is the true bread. He is the spiritual food for men and women. But is he your food? Do you eat Jesus Christ? Have you taken him as your bread? It's interesting to notice the tense that is used here. In verse 32, but my Father giveth you, the present continuous tense, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, freely offered to us in the gospel. He gives. Didn't just give, but gives and continues to give. He gives to you. Yes, to you, you unbelieving multitude. There they were, and they turned their back on him, as we see later on at the end of the chapter. And yet my Father giveth you, unbelieving ones, the true bread from heaven, freely offered to us in the gospel, to every man and woman in the world, not just presented, but given. He gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. But then, thirdly, notice that the people want this miraculous food. Verse 34, then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Lord, give us this food. We want this food. Give it to us today, but give it to us forevermore. The real manna. The Father gives his Son to be the life of the world. If you want life, where are you to find it? You're only going to find it in Jesus Christ. Evermore give us this bread. It reminds us, doesn't it, of the woman of Samaria. Remember how she came to the well. And Jesus asked her for a drink. She turned to him and said, I'm surprised that you, a Jew, are asking a drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus said to her, if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would ask of him, and he would give to you living water. She said, how can you give me living water when you don't have anything to draw water with, and the well is deep? What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the spiritual water. And so he says to her, he that drinks of this water shall thirst again. But he who drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. And then she also says, Lord, give me that water. And then I won't have to come to this well and drink. There's a little bit of irony in it. I think it's clear, is it not, that she knew she would have to come to the well to drink water. How could somebody possibly give her a drink which would last forever? Lord, give me a drink. Jesus is talking about a spiritual drink. And so he says here to these people, they say, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Give us this bread then. Are you greater than Moses? Give us this bread. Give it to us forevermore. But again, there's a note of irony in that. Eating food and living forever and never dying. They don't really believe They had seen the miracle, but their heart was hardened. Jesus may be a prophet, he may be a miracle worker, but they don't really believe he's the Messiah. They're cynical. Lord, evermore then give us this bread. Wonder, are you cynical at all about religion and its ability to save you and to change you and transform you and deliver you and make you new? Fourthly, Jesus is the bread of life. We have that in verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This is the first of the I am sayings. There are seven of these sayings in John's Gospel. I am. And these words in the Greek emphasize the I and the am. Ego eimi. I am. I am that I am. That reminds us, doesn't it, of Jehovah. Jesus is the I am that I am. Jesus is Jehovah. I am that I am. He is God, fully God. I am the bread of life. Later on he says, I am the light of the world. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to God. The truth about the way. And the life to enable you to walk in the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then the last of the I am sayings, John 15. I am the true vine. Are we linked, united to him, the vine? Abiding in him is the only way to bear fruit. Outside of him, all shrivel up and die and are cast into the fire. These seven great I am sayings. Well, here is the first one. I am the bread of life. Why not, I am the cakes, or I am the pudding, or I am the fish, or I am the meat? No, but I am the bread. Because bread is the staple diet. Bread's something we eat every day. And he is the one that we are to feed upon every day. The basic food. He is the basic food. The Israelites lived on manna for 40 years. It gave them physical health and strength. But Jesus is the true bread, the true manna. And he gives us spiritual health and strength for the spiritual pilgrimage, for the journey from the land of Egypt and the house of bondage to the new Jerusalem and to the new Canaan, the promised land of heaven. Every Israelite got all that they needed from the manna. And those that went out to gather the manna, each one was able to gather sufficient for themselves. There was plenty for everyone, even although there were millions of them. Jesus, he satisfies. He satisfies wholly and completely. Those that take Christ shall never hunger and thirst again. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Don't waste your money on that which cannot satisfy. Don't go looking around for that which will satisfy your soul anywhere else, because there is no true and lasting satisfaction to be found anywhere but in Jesus Christ. Oh, everyone that thirsts, oh, everyone that hungers, I am the bread of life. Come and eat me. Come and drink me. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you shall live forever. Around us, all mankind is starving, perishing, hungry. Maybe you're hungry too. Spiritually hungry. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The bread that gives eternal life. Do you have eternal life? And then finally, notice what it means to feed on Christ. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. It means coming to Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, and you shall find rest for your souls. How are you to come? You come in prayer. You draw near in prayer. Like the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went to his house justified. You come and you believe. And you notice it's believe on. He that believeth on me, trusting, depending, relying, casting yourself upon Christ. How can you be saved? Faith in Christ. Feeding on Christ. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Take Christ as your Savior. Receive him. He's freely offered to you in the gospel. The Father gives him. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Come to Christ. Take Christ. Feed on Christ. Hope in Christ. Look for life in Christ. Rely and rest upon him alone as he is offered to you in the gospel. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. With terrible hunger, people will suffer in hell. Hungry forever. But he that hungereth, but he that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.